Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Genesis, as you can see, it skips around. So I just say Genesis chapter 1, selected verses. In beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless and desolate emptiness, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters that were below the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, a second day. Then God said, "Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And they shall serve as signs and for seasons and for days and years. And they shall serve as lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God saw all that he had made. And behold, it was very good. The word of God for the people of God. Y'all don't get to see what I see up here. Y'all heard a baby, okay? And you see mama giving the baby to daddy. I love that. But see, y'all don't get to see the good things. Okay, last week I told y'all, that we're on a journey, we're on a trip, whether you want to be or not, that you have no choice in this trip. You're in day 154 of this trip. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going on vacation for 154 days? Huh? No? You have to be retired to go for 154 days. And there's some of y'all have not retired yet. 154 days. We're on a journey around the sun. I'm going to tell you to hang in there one more day, one more week for astronomy. But better astronomy than astrology, right? And I read somewhere a while back that somebody somewhere, they changed the astrological signs. They changed your dates on them. Who and why? But doesn't make any difference. The thing is, I like astronomy. I've got a little telescope. When we go camping, I take it with me, to look at the stars. But what really matters, what really, really matters most is that God is into astronomy. God is into the cosmos. There are hundreds of verses in Scripture about the stars. Psalm 19. "The heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard." That God has put you, me, and mankind in a place where every night, every day, we see a billboard of his greatness, the heavens. Not one person on planet Earth does not see that if they just look up, no matter where they are at. Again, Psalm 19. Their line has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Not a community, not a state, not a country, not a people, not a tribe on planet Earth, no matter where they are at, does not see the greatness of God. It was the Star of Bethlehem that led the wise men to Jesus Christ. The star that God put there. Look up. Look up at night and be amazed at who God is and what he has done. Now I know we live in big city here, you know, and there's such a thing as light pollution. And I know Big Ravel puts out a lot of light, you know, so you may not see all the stars that are there. Has anybody ever been on a cruise? Nobody? Go out in the middle of the ocean. Mine wasn't a pleasure cruise. Get out in the middle of the ocean or up in the mountains. But you see the stars, and when you see how many they are, it just makes you wonder that when you get home, where are they? They are there. Every one of them are there. It's just in town, light pollution, you don't see them. But just the expanse, the stars. Then our anchor verse for this. Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Our anchor text for this trip, our anchor text for our journey, meaning keep us from drifting away. Our anchor text keeps you in one place. Keep you from drifting away from God. Keep you anchored in God, in Jesus Christ. A verse to plan your day around, a verse to plan your life around. Teach me to number my days and give me a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That God has been God of all time, all generations. God did not just show up after we were here. God did not show up as an invention of some man. That God is large and in charge. Before there was anything, there was God. The sovereignty of God. Now what I mean by that, the sovereignty of God. The power of God. The authority of God. Do you recognize that? To look up in the heavens, to look up in the sky and see the sun, and to realize the one that put it there. The sovereignty and the power of God. You turn mortals back into dust and say, "Return, you sons of mankind, for 1,000 years are in your sight, God, or like yesterday when it passes by, or like a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass that sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening it wilts and withers away." That we come and we go. You are just a blip on the radar of the almost 8 billion people in the world. A blip on the radar. But you are not ordinary. Why? Because nothing God does is ordinary. But me, you, all mankind, we need to recognize and know and seriously take the sovereignty of God, the power, the authority of God, and to go with that, the smallness of man. For we have been consumed by your anger. We have been terrified by your wrath. You have placed our guilty deeds before you, our hidden sins in the light of your presence. For all of our days have dwindled away in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life that contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80, yet their pride is only trouble and tragedy, for it quickly passes and we disappear. That our sins, whatever they are, nothing is hidden from God. Everything we say, everything we do is before him. Nothing ordinary about you. But we do have to see the reality of it all. That God is God and we are not. Give us a heart of wisdom, Lord God, that we can number our days. Help me to understand, Father, Son, Spirit, that you, God, you, Son, you, Spirit, you are the center of my life. You are the center of the universe. Not me, not anything else here. You know, confession. You know, I have prayer time every morning. You know, while Amanda's still sleeping. You know, but I sit down, you know, and I have to watch myself. That if I pick up my phone to do something, I get lost in it, searching mail and just doing all kind of stupid stuff. Then it hits me, prayer. Put your phone down, Aaron, and pray. That I'm not the center. That phone is not the center. Nothing else matters but God. That God should be the forefront, should be on the front of our minds, in front of us every day. You know, talking to somebody this morning, said they were just so glad to get out of bed this morning. And I said, so glad to get out of bed and stand up. So glad to get out of bed and stand up and take that first step. That second one might be hard. But to be able to do that, thankful for God that he allows us to do that, to help us to understand, to put our pride aside, pride in ourselves, ego, anything we put before God. We're on a journey. Things happen on journeys, some good, some not so good. You know, there's one thing that God wants for each and every one of you, that God wants for all of mankind on this journey. He wants us to have a heart of wisdom. His heart, his wisdom, to make the most out of this journey around the sun. And when we do that, it comes with a closer walk with thee, a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. Moses from Psalm 90 again. He's given us, he's playing his cards close to hand, but he takes them away just a little bit to give us a hint. How long will it be, O Lord? Giving us a hint of what is to come. The cross. The cross. Let the beauty of God, the delight or favor of God, rest on us. The beauty of God. Can you imagine you being as beautiful as God? Letting God's beauty rest on you? Or the favor of God? Another word, definition of this is the delight of God. I like that one. But that brings with it the question, does God delight in you? When you wake up in the morning or when you go to bed at night, God has everything I've done this day delight in you. Are you delighted in everything I've done, God? To be the delight of God. But to know that if you haven't, that if there's something that God was not totally delighted in your day, you can go to him and get forgiveness. That forgiveness is already there. To establish the work of our hands. To make what we do here everlasting from generation to generation to bring these kids up in the right way, that when we pass, the next generation comes from one generation to another, that the favor of God is on them. Heaven, the kingdom of God, the eternal life does not start, people, when we see the pearly gates. I know some people think that, but Jesus said eternal life starts here, today. The eternal life starts in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The day you accept him as your Lord and Savior and walk and follow in his path, that's where eternal life starts. Yes, we're on a journey. We're on a trip. And people are taking trips these days. You know, and some of them, I've already seen them laying out in the sun saying, bronze me, bake me, Lord, bake me. To be that nice, beautiful bronze color. You know, and God has gifted them with sunscreen. That if they put sunscreen on or they put some other stuff on, that they won't just burn and blister. But God has also gifted us with the just perfect distance from the sun, that we don't walk out the doors and instantly you burn to a crisp. The Goldilocks zone, not too far away, not too close. You know, and I said last week, if we take our solar system compared to our galaxy, it's like putting a quarter in the middle of the United States. But another comparison I saw this week, if you take the Earth and say the Earth is the size of a golf ball, that compared to our sun, they would have to have a ball 15 feet wide. Now, can you imagine that? A golf ball compared to a ball 15 feet wide compared to our sun. That it's something, you know, like 1.3 million Earths can fit inside the sun. The enormity of that, the power of that, for God to do this and then put us in a perfect place. And as far as we know now, no other place has been found that has the gift that we have, life and life as we know it. In August and September of 1977, Voyager 1 and 2 were launched. Now, they have been in orbit since 1977. You know, they've got to a point where they've stopped, they just went out, that they've stopped sending that back pictures. But even though they're that far out, NASA is still communicating with them. NASA can tell them something, and the satellites will send back data, you know, of their operating systems. Now, I don't get this. Here I am driving somewhere, and I lose cell phone coverage. But yet, millions of miles out there in space, NASA is able to communicate with these things. What's the matter with this picture? At one point, NASA told Voyager, I think it was just getting ready to leave the solar system, NASA told one of the Voyagers to turn around and take a picture of the Earth. And it did. And it's known as the blue dot picture. Famous blue dot picture of Earth. Carl Sagan saw the picture and he said this about it. There it is. That is our home, where everyone you love or have loved, everyone you've ever heard of, every being who has ever lived out their life there. Every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint, every sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Lived on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. He helped us to understand how small we really are. You're not ordinary because nothing God does is ordinary. But you are not God. God is God and we are not. You are just one of the 8 billion people a speck of dust suspended on in a sunbeam in the cosmos that declares the glory of Almighty God. When we come to the reality of that, it takes a big weight off our shoulders to know that God is in charge of everything. To be in a place that when you get out of bed in the morning, or even before you get out, you say, God, I trust in your power and your sovereignty and your love, your grace, your mercy, that no matter how amazingly small we are, God is God. And I ask you, is that where you're at? Do you depend on the sovereignty and the power of God? Us, a blip on the radar, on a blue dot suspended in a sunbeam. And the thing about it is, you may be small, you are amazingly small, but the God of all creation thought you were large enough to die for you. And that God that created that pale blue dot, somehow he managed to come to that pale blue dot all the way to a cross. The same God that breathed out the stars was born on planet Earth to live a perfect life, but to give his life for you, for all humanity, so all of us with an overblown ego can wake up every day to be restored in a right relationship with him. Father, Son, Spirit. And he saw, looked at you, and saw that it was very good. On an average day, outside an average city, on a cross that probably had been used many times before, between two thieves, the creator of the universe gave up his way above average life for your sins and the sins of the world, so that we can be brought into a right relationship with the creator of the universe. The God, the creator of heaven, gave up his son, God himself. And the psalmist said it this way, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That we may be amazingly small, because the God of the universe knows every hair of your head. He knows your name. That no matter how small we are, he wants to be in a relationship with you. So here's the challenge: to ask God for a heart of wisdom, to be saved from the ordinary, to not to be oblivious to where you are and who put you here, to be awakened to who you are and the God of the universe that wants to walk with you on this journey. The God wants to walk with you. And the prophet said it this way, he has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. We are on a 584 million mile journey, and the God of the universe wants to go in that journey with you. He is inviting you this day and every day, every moment of your life. He wants to be in a relationship with you every mile of this journey. But he wants to be more than a spot on your calendar. He wants more than a tip of the hat. He wants more than to be on your day, on your knees once a month or twice a year. He wants to be the center of your life. That is who God is, the creator of everything, of all that is, including you. You know, I want to close this with a poem by Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary to India. She worked for a better life for girls, for women, and she worked against sex trafficking. From prayer that ask that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire from faltering when I should climb higher. From silken self, O captain, free thy soldier who would follow thee. From subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, winkenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified. From all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointment tire, the passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod. Let me be thy fuel, flame of God. Another question. Are you the fuel in the flame of God? Are you the light of God for people out there? That's what we need to be. The fuel of God and the light of God. That God burns through each and every one of us. You, the church. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we give you thanks. Lord God, may we be that light. May we be that fuel. Burn bright in us and through us. Father, Son, Spirit, in your Son's holy name, amen.